All right, let's get right to our guest, Jay Pawlowski, founder and principal at TPW Advisory. Jay, there was every opportunity today for the bears to press the downside. We didn't actually get that. We seem to be in a sort of no man's land here where you can make arguments for a break either direction. And a lot depends on the 800-pound gorilla in the room, Jerome Powell, on Friday. How do you see this thing moving?
Yep, I think that's exactly right, Brian. You set it up well. Look, we had a 5% pullback in both the NASDAQ and the S&P over the last two or three days. So the market has done a pretty good job of discounting Jackson Hole, I think, and that's after a very healthy run-up into resistance, the 200-day moving average for the S&P. I'm of the view that we could be shaping up for a little bit of a sell-the-rumor-buy-the-news at Jackson Hole. I don't really think Chair Powell is going to be particularly aggressive in his language. I think he's going to be, it's a scripted talk. He's going to be very straightforward. I think more importantly, as we move past Jackson Hole, is the likelihood that the Fed ends the aggressive front-loading 75 basis point hikes in September. And that really sets the stage for a rollover in the dollar, which in turn sets the stage for non-U.S. cyclicals, commodities, emerging markets to really start to perform. That's the setup as we see it at TPW Advisory.
All right, Jay, but I mean, just can you be a bit more granular on that?
Sure. What would you like to...
What in particular, when you look at Europe, I mean, they're confronting all sorts of problems here, and not least possibly that they'll have no gas in the winter if Vladimir Putin carries on.
Yeah, no, I think that's clearly a risk, and the markets had to deal with that for months. And, we talked about a shutdown of Nord Stream 1 some months ago for maintenance, and now we're talking about it again. I mean, the market there, I think, is in decent shape. Valuation is very compelling. The euro's at parity, and we're a couple of months away from moving past this energy issue, right? Once we determine storage levels for the winter, then all of this goes away, I think, or most of it goes away. And the good news is that the storage activity has been at record highs. Germany has had an average inflow at an all-time high, and they've ahead of schedule for reaching their storage. So, I mean,
but
I
you
think
can see.
We
get the point. You can see downward pressure on the U.S. economy somewhat from what's happening in Europe, I suppose. And then it's, as we mentioned, the big interest rate hikes from the Fed, while slowing, they're still there. I wonder, though, if this recent rally got your attention for a couple of things, not only the 50% rebound off the lows, but then also the breadth.
Yep. No, there are definitely reasons to be constructive, and we are constructive on risk assets. We're of the mindset that this is not a 2008 or 2001 environment. It's more like a mid-70s. mid-80s environment in terms of the high inflation. And there, the playbook is quite simple. Inflation peaks, stocks bottom. And we think we have, in fact, had the peak in inflation, and we have had the bottom. And therefore, we're constructive going forward.
So we talked about how it's a little bit indecisive at the moment. There's plenty of arguments on the bearish side, and there are some on the bullish side too as well. How likely then is it that the S&P trades sideways, say between 3,600 and maybe 4,200, until you get a clearer picture on what people are referring to as peaks, the inflation peak, and then the Fed hawkishness peak?
Well, I think we've already passed the peak of Fed hawkishness. That was passed some time ago, I think, when you look at kind of how the bond market has repositioned over the last, call it a couple of months. I think that was really back in June. So to us, it's not so much that the Fed is going to raise rates. I mean, the market already has priced in 100 basis points of further raising. I mean, we're really looking for a buy the rumor, sell the news, Jackson Hole. So Chair Powell will not be any more hawkish than he's already been, for the Fed to finish its front loading with the 75 basis point hike in September, and for the dollar, once that peak and front loading has been reached, for the dollar to start to roll over. We really see the dollar as the key catalyst here, driving markets going forward. And with that dollar rollover, we think it opens up a real opportunity as I was saying before, in commodities, non-U.S., and in particular, emerging markets. So the emerging market space is where we've been focusing our attention over the last month or so, starting to add both to debt and equity.
Interesting, Jay, that you've just been to Mexico City, of course, visiting a pension fund there. You know, they have similar concerns as U.S. investors, it would seem, as well.
Yes, I mean, very much so, Rashad. They were, you know, the first question is, you know, has the low been seen? And we talked about that a minute or two ago. Lows are a process, not a point in time. We think with inflation's peak back in June, stocks bottomed as well. The second question was the rate of inflation's decline. We think there's potential for inflation decline faster than people think in the U.S. as the transitory stuff fades away. You've already touched on housing rolling over very quickly. And the labor market, we think, as it softens, that should ease concerns about hourly earnings and wage inflation. And then we look into Europe, as we touched on, with the gas front. And then Asia, in particular, China's ability to move out of lockdowns. Those were the main issues.
If we could talk about China for a moment, it seems like yuan depreciation now might be a new effort to sort of get growth going again. I mean, they've tried limited stimulus with limited effect. How weak do you see this currency moving?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Brian. I mean, we've been pretty constructive on China, and that has, you know, that's had its moments, but it's been a challenge. We're looking for China to gradually grow in the second half about 4% on an annualized basis. We think it's a demand issue, not a supply issue. And as they move further away from the lockdowns, that demand should come back. We do think China drawing a line under the property sector over the last week or so, both with rate cuts and a bailout fund, is a really important point. And it's interesting to us, we have a global multi-asset model portfolio, which has in it an Asian high-yield ETF, which itself consists of about 30% China real estate. And notwithstanding all the negative headlines over the last week or so, that position has been a top five performer for us out of about 25 ETFs over the last 2 weeks, which suggests that all the bad headline news is already in the price. And people are looking to start to position in these things as China acts more aggressively to stabilize the property sector in particular.
Jay, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Jay Pulaski there with his thoughts on markets.